her. Remember that you also were immigrants in the land of Egypt, and I rescued you. The implication, you rescue these immigrants who come in your midst. There's the other passage that God speaks through the prophet Moses. Do not mistreat the widow and the orphan in your midst. A woman who did not have a husband, a child who did not have a father, had no legal status. And so certain ones in the Israelite community felt, well, we can take advantage of them. And God says, do not abuse them. If you do, and they cry out to me, my anger will blaze against you. Almost always, it had to do with how we treat one another in the community. God expected more of the Israelites because they were his chosen people. He says, when you see poor among you, do not be tight-fisted or hard-hearted. Rather, open your hearts and open your purses to respond to their needs. From the book of Deuteronomy. God is, through the prophet, always telling us how we should act. God knows we need prophets among us today. Give us a prophet like Moses, we might very easily say. And we're very fortunate in our church. Our church has a prophetic tradition. Our church does stand up and denounce injustice. Collectively, our bishops have called us to greater sensitivity to the plight of immigrants and refugees among us. The bishops say, we do not know what the answer to this is, but we have to say, this is not right. That's prophecy. A couple of weeks ago, our local bishop, Cardinal Wuerl, released a letter on racism. We need to hear that even today in our midst. The problem often with us accepting these things is, how do we know when it's really God speaking to us and not someone who's just spouting his or her own opinion? That's always been the challenge. What makes the prophecy authentic? Who really speaks for God? That's what happens with Jesus in today's gospel. The people are perplexed. Who is this man? He's teaching with authority, not like we normally hear. The reason we continue to have a problem with the authenticity about prophecy is because too often women and men who speak for the church often think they're speaking for God. Think of that passage from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. How many women have stayed in unhappy marriages or even abusive marriages, often because some priest says that's what God calls you to do? That is a false prophecy. How about that passage from Romans chapter 13, where Paul says, slaves, obey your masters as you would obey Christ. What suffering that has engendered in our society, and we are living that still now as we in the Georgetown community are dealing with our legacy of slavery among us. How many sisters and brothers of ours have been hurt and humiliated by some prophet speaking, a man shall not lie with a man as he does with a woman, that is an abomination, and they shall be killed. That's a false prophecy. So that leads us to wonder, how might we know when a prophecy truly is from God? How do we know that the church, when it speaks about immigration or racism or anything else, that we are listening to what God wants us to hear? I think we need to be trained. And I say there are three things that can help us to discern when prophecy is authentic. Orthodoxy, orthopathy, orthopraxis. You know from the word orthopedic and orthodontics that ortho means some corrective strategy that straightens something out, some strategy that helps us to see without distortion. So orthodoxy, in the Greek mentality, this is the doxy up here, the dokein. So when I pray for orthodoxy, I'm praying that I might see the world around me the way God sees the world. that by my study of Scripture and hearing how God has dealt with us through the ages, and by looking at what are the documents of the church, I might come to see all the world around me, around my family, around my community, and around my nation the way God sees it. And when I have that orthodoxy, then I ask for orthopathy, sympathy, empathy. Pathy has to do with feelings. I pray for that conversion of heart where God will heal my way of feeling about the world and about God's children and see things in a correct way, feel things in a correct way. In other words, that through orthopathy, I might feel the way Jesus feels. So many times in the Gospels, it tells us that Jesus had pity. He saw the crowds and had pity. That's the wrong translation. Jesus didn't feel pity. He felt compassion. And compassion is the feeling that a woman feels when her child is in danger, her child is being hurt. That's compassion. So we pray for orthopathy, that we might have the same feelings of Jesus when we look at situations of injustice all around us. And then we ask for orthopraxis. Praxis has to do with my practice in life, my behavior in life. I pray that now that I see the world the way Jesus sees it, and I feel toward these people who are the victims of oppression, that I feel that compassion that Jesus feels, that God will also give me the strength and the courage and the wisdom to know how to respond. If we pray for orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis, we will know when a teaching is authentic from God. And God knows that we need prophets among us. Fortunately, we have several hundred here this morning. Remember, that's your vocation. In baptism, after the pouring of the water, was the anointing with oil. When the priest said, "I anoint you as priest, prophet, and king." You have been given that capacity by God to speak what the Spirit impels you to speak. Jeremiah talks about the fire in his belly. I wanted to keep quiet. I could no longer risk denouncing these situations, but it was like a fire in my belly, and I had to let it out. Would to God that we would have that fire within us, that God would renew us individually and as a community. We have so much capacity for prophecy here in this parish because of the resources that we have been given. Let us pray that God will renew our parish so that we truly might be prophets for the Lord.